Well, good morning. Welcome to Good News Church. Great to see everybody this morning. We have been in a, we've been in a series that we're titling Uncomfortable. Why are we doing that? every buzzword in the Christian faith, we're hitting and talking about it each week. And but I think it's been great so far. Ray preached last week on repentance, and that was very, very helpful. If you miss any of the messages, they're all on the website. The message, the audio, the PowerPoint slides that you see, the sermon notes even oftentimes are uploaded with the messages. So just know all that is usually there. Boy, our sound and tech team has been unbelievable. We've been in transition these last few weeks. Jason Jones is like, you know, what, a rocket scientist when it comes to audio. And he is, I mentioned last week, I think, he's installed our speakers permanently up here so we don't have the stands. And we're working towards, I don't know, even know if we are. Are we wireless today? Okay, we're not wireless, but working, we're progressing towards that. But it was crazy. On top of that, the computer that we use to run slides, my computer, it's the church's computer, but I upload everything, is doing a backup this morning. And we can't stop it. So I think everything's going to be okay, but just giving you a heads up, a disclaimer, that if anything goes a little crazy, I think everything's going to be fine. But if anything goes crazy, that's kind of par for the course. But we landed the plane this morning when we opened up the service. Everything was working great. So thank you guys, tech team and musicians, for hanging with us through all that. All right, so let me see. I don't think I have any other updates. We are having lunch after church. So Allie with Jubilee's Pot Pies will be here today. So if you're interested in sticking around, it's a great way for us to promote a local business owner. She lives in Sugar Hill, new business owner, and it's quick and easy lunch for us. So it's a great way for us to stick around, get to know each other a little bit, and fellowship. So just know that's available, and lunch is on us if you can stay. Let's see. So today we're hitting one of those words, evangelism. That's one of the buzzwords, I think, of the Christian faith. What do you feel? What do you think? What do you experience when you hear that word, evangelism? Billy Graham. Billy Graham. Is it a word that you're drawn to? It's like, oh, no. All right, we'll talk about stewardship. No, that's next week. but it is one of those words, and I think so many of us, myself included, the way that evangelism is presented to us, oftentimes it feels like door-to-door, it feels like having conversations with people that are super uncomfortable, that you don't really know, and you're trying to share your faith, and it just feels very awkward. And so that's one of the reasons we're talking about it today. My goal today is to help us to move from apprehension in evangelism, really, to enthusiasm. And I think that there are some ways that that can happen. And so I'm going to present a perspective today that I think will help move the ball for us in that direction. I love what Rick Warren says about evangelism. He says, evangelism is easy. Just be nice to people. In a lot of ways, that's the truth. It starts with being kind to people. It starts with connecting with people. And so that's a baseline. You know, oftentimes we feel, okay, well, I can do that. Well, that's a starting point. That's a starting point for evangelism. I found a definition that I really liked for evangelism. It was off of the Ligonier Ministries website. And I've known this, and you probably are aware of this. Evangelism comes from the same Greek word for gospel, good news, euangelion, and means literally gospeling. When we evangelize, we are gospeling. We are spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And the important part of that is we've got to be gospeling ourselves first. We've got to be reminding ourselves of this good news. Because we drift, we've said it over and over, but we don't drift towards God. We drift away from God. We forget these things. You know, that verse, we'll come back to it, that we opened up this morning, Paul talking about, of all the sinners, I'm the worst. But God's mercy and grace is so big that he takes me, even the worst of sinners. And that's a great starting point for evangelism. We're going to start. I've got a video that it may take a minute to queue it up. We'll see. And if it doesn't work, then we'll skip it. but it's about a 5.5 minute video. But I love this story, and I think it provides a great starting point for us if it plays. I'm thinking that we'll be okay. Rosaria Butterfield, Radical Ordinary Hospitality. This video was shot a few years ago, but I won't introduce it. I'll just let Rosaria tell her story if we can get it. And I think it looks like we'll be okay. So I'll just let it run, see what happens. Rosaria, basically, to summarize her story, she was not a believer. She was living in a lesbian lifestyle. She's a professor at Syracuse University, and she was doing a research paper. She posted an article in the newspaper up there, and a pastor responded and said, you know, sounds interesting. I'd love to talk with you. So he and his wife invited her over for dinner, and she said, you may have heard, she was surprised because two things that you would normally expect to happen, especially from a pastor, but from Christians, she said, all Christians, is, she said, and he didn't do either one. They didn't do either one. They didn't invite me to church, and they didn't share their faith. We just had a lovely dinner. And so she kept going back and kept going back. And God worked in her heart. And she said, you know, in terms of her lifestyle, she said, it wasn't that God addressed my lifestyle first. The issue was really belief in Jesus and following Jesus. And then everything else started to sort of work its way out. But a couple things that I picked up from the video that I thought were highlights, I wrote down, I think that they've got up. Yeah. She said, to me, hospitality is the ground zero of the Christian faith. I believe that. Having people over or going out and getting coffee or just engaging, just being with people, providing warm, hospitable environments, that's the first part really of evangelism. And you can take the pressure off from feeling like you have to share your faith or you have to invite somebody to church. Don't worry about that. Just be, like Rick Warren said, just be kind, be friendly, and open up our homes, open up our lives. Hospitality, I love this, takes strangers and makes them neighbors, and takes neighbors and makes them family of God. We've seen that happen. I know a lot of you have seen that happen. And then at the end of the video, she said, if your neighbors aren't people you know yet, there's a blessing waiting for you. That's true. A lot of you in this room, we would say that the same thing. A lot of y'all are neighbors of ours, and you've become a huge blessing to us, and we've become a blessing to you. And so now we're all part of the family of God. The rest of the story for Rosaria is she's now married, has been married numbers and numbers of years, probably I think more than 20. Her husband is a Presbyterian PCA pastor. I think they live in Virginia. And she wrote a book called The Gospel Comes with a House Key, which is really a cool concept, and it's a good book. So anyway, just wanted you to be encouraged with that. That's the starting point, just being friendly, being kind, inviting people into our lives and into our worlds without feeling like we have an agenda for them. We can take that, although, you know, in church oftentimes there's so much pressure on us to share our faith that when we meet somebody who may not be a Christian yet, that pressure, we just feel like, oh, I've got to share my faith. I've got to invite him to church. Just relax. Don't worry about that. In fact, I was going to mention this later, but I may forget. So part of our story when we moved into our neighborhood 20 years ago, we felt like, you know, this is going to be our place to love our neighbors, to build friendships, to see God do a work in our lives and in their lives. And I felt strongly convicted that at least for the first year of living in our neighborhood, exactly like what Rosaria said, I told Laura, I said, I just think at least the first year we're not going to share our faith with anyone. We're not going to initiate a spiritual conversation, and we're not going to invite anybody to church. And that felt strong. That felt strange. That felt, you know, weird. But it was about a year and a half. We just were building friendships, and we were praying for people. As we would meet people, we'd pray by name and just, God, do a work in their hearts, do a work in our hearts, build relationship, just do your thing, you know, and we just developed friendships. And after about a year and a half, truly, it was like the fish just started jumping in the boat. People were initiating spiritual conversation with us. People were inviting themselves to church. And so we resonate with that story of Ken and Floy just inviting Rosaria in and having her over for dinner and just getting to know her and being a friend to her. So here are the key points. We got three key points for today. I'll tell you what they are, and then we'll go through them, and we're going to have some fun. The first is we're all sinners. So be humble, gracious, and patient with others. We're all sinners. Be humble, patient, and gracious with others. The second is evangelism is more about who you are and what you've experienced than it is about what you do. Who you are, what you've experienced, than what you do. And lastly, you are uniquely wired for evangelism. Every single one of us is uniquely wired for evangelism. So number one, we're all sinners, so be humble, gracious, and patient with others. That's huge. Our starting point, if we feel like we're here and other people are here, we're above them, they're low, we have Jesus, they need Jesus. While that's true, unless we see ourselves as just as needy as everybody else, if not more needy, we're going to come across with an attitude of arrogance and pride. As much as we don't want to, it'll feel a little self-righteous for people on the receiving end. Coming back to the verse that we opened up with, 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16, Paul says this to Timothy: "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Paul is saying this. "But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." It takes the pressure off of us when we feel like it's not my righteousness, it's not my goodness that's going to bring somebody to Jesus. A lot of times I kind of had this thought over the years when I'm meeting with somebody in pastoral care or some form of ministry, I'll tell them a little bit about myself and my background. And my goal is for them to feel like I'm worse than they are. It helps them feel a lot more comfortable. And the truth is, because I know myself and you know yourselves, we know the motivations of our hearts, we can all believe that. So I want them to see, hey, I am not up here high and mighty and holy, you know, professional pastor ministry, and you're down here. That's not where we are. In fact, I see myself as being a lot more needy than you. And it does. I've literally seen people in meetings, they just turn their chairs and they towards me, they open up when I do that. So that frees us up just to be like Paul, to say, of all sinners, I'm the worst. Like, I'm as least deserving as anybody. This idea of I like the idea of leveraging and benefiting from the reality of sin and repentance in our lives. Not to run from that, but that actually is a great advantage to us when we embrace that. P.T. Forsyth is a Scottish theologian, and he said this. I picked this up in a quote from my Bible in 1 year reading about a week and a half ago. He said, "Our churches are full of the nicest, kindest people who have never known the despair of guilt or the breathless wonder of forgiveness." That is what we need. We need the breathless wonder of forgiveness fueling our hearts, looking for people who need to experience that in the way that we have. And then Cornelius Plantinga says this: "Human sin is stubborn, but not as stubborn as the grace of God." Isn't that good? We know that, and we want other people to know that. Human sin is stubborn. We know the stubbornness of our sin, but God's grace is more stubborn than our sin. Thank goodness. All right, point number two. It also helps to know that evangelism is more about who you are and what you've experienced than it is about what you do. What do you get excited about? You go see a movie, you go to a concert, you have an experience, and you just can't help but tell other people about, you know, hey, you've got to go see this movie. You've got to pick up the new CD. You've got to do this. You've got to go to that new restaurant, whatever it is. That's our goal. That's why preaching the gospel to ourselves on a regular basis every day to continue to cause our hearts to be enlarged by the grace of God will cause it just to want to erupt out of us. It's hard enough to talk about spiritual things in everyday conversations, but when we are just continually amazed by God's grace in our own lives, it's going to find its way out. So Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus says this: "You are the light of the world. A tower built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The point here is pretty simple. When I say it helps to know that evangelism is more about who you are and what you've experienced than it is about what you do. You are the light of the world. You don't have to try to be light. You are light. When the Holy Spirit lives in us, you are light. And what Jesus is saying is just let the light shine. Just let it shine out of you and watch what God does through your life. The illustration hit me a few years ago, and I thought, when is a bride least beautiful? And I think it's when she's at the bridal shop trying on dresses, because there are 50 other brides there, right? She's beautiful, but she's surrounded by other brides. She doesn't stand out. But when is she most beautiful? On the wedding day, when the doors of the back of the sanctuary open, and there she is, and she comes walking down, you get chills. She's the most beautiful person in the room. And so in the same way, for us who have the light of the Holy Spirit, the light of Jesus in us, we're probably least beautiful in this room, because there's a lot of light in this room. But we're most beautiful in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplace, wherever we are, in Monkey Wrench on a Friday night, because there's less light there. But when we're here, when you're here, and you're one light, you know the illustration, you can have a pitch black room, and you just, one little candle lit can light up the whole room. The impact of our individual lives just from being in places as the light of Jesus is very significant. And you don't really have to try to do anything. Just be there. That's half the battle, is just being with people who don't know Jesus and interact with them. So that's the first part. The second is chapter 1, verse 8 says this. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." My main point on this is you will be my witnesses. When you experience something, when I experience something, we are a witness. Evangelism is just being a witness, telling other people about what we've experienced. That's really all it is. In the context of relationship, in the context of everyday conversation. And a lot of times the best way for that to happen is just asking questions. You know, so oftentimes with evangelism, we're so mindful about what we have to say and what we have to tell people. I think the best evangelism happens when we just ask questions and get to know people. And when you get to know, it doesn't take very long before we find out something hard that somebody's struggling with. And then God begins to show you, how can the compassion and the love and the grace of God cover over this person in this area of hurt or worry or pain in their lives? And then oftentimes, many times in my own experience, and you all have had the same experiences where, hey, can I pray for you? You know, right then and there, right here in Monkey Wrench or wherever you are, can I just say a quick prayer for you? And everybody, I've never met anybody who said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. People are very open to prayer. And that's a very easy spiritual bridge into introducing people to the love of Christ, or just to reminding them of that. And it shows them that you care. It shows them that we care about them. Evangelism is simply bearing witness to what you've seen and what you've experienced. So what have you seen? What have you experienced? What difference has Jesus made in your life? What words come to mind? Our vision for this church is to experience and express love, from God to others. It's what we're all about. It's what Christians are all about. The experience of God's love, it transforms us, and then it flows right back out of us. We're not a container. We're a conduit. But I have a slide up here to help us with this. You know, oftentimes we don't really sit and think, what difference has Jesus made in my life? And so as you see, that there are a lot more words than that, but these are words that I just put to sort of prime the pump. You know, I think for me, when I came to faith in my mid-20s, the words that jump out at me was joy, just a joy, peace. I was restless. God gave me a peace that I had never known. I was able to sleep at night. I wasn't able to sleep, but I had peace. And then, you know, if I had to pick one more, I'd say purpose. I felt like my life began to have purpose. And so what words jump out at you? Here's the thing. Whatever words jump out, that is your kind of quote-unquote selling point of the Christian faith. That is your selling point of the gospel. It makes it tangible with people that you have conversation with. When you can talk about, I was restless, but then this interaction that I had with Jesus, it gave me a peace. I was empty. I was not happy. And then I found a joy that surpassed even my circumstances. And I was wandering aimlessly. I didn't know what life was all about. And then I found purpose, you know, and everybody wants those things. Everybody wants every one of these things on the wall. And if I can remember, it dawned on me a few years ago that the key to life, the most important things in life are invisible. They're these things. And everybody wants these things. But we're all pursuing these things through the visible things. And so for us as believers, we can point people to say, the key to these invisible things that we want so desperately is the invisible God. That's where we get it. And let me just tell you how that has happened in my own life. And as naturally as the opportunity presents itself, we can share what difference Jesus has made in our lives. John Fisher said a few years ago, he said, you know, one of the best ways to share your faith is by telling your story. And the best time to tell your story is after you've been asked. Oftentimes we sort of begin to force our story on people and they're like, well, why is he telling me his story? I'm not even interested. So, but as we get to know people, then people become curious. We start asking people about their story and they say, well, what about you? And so there's an opportunity just to share what God's done in our own lives. So that's the first part is, what have you experienced? Those words are critical. Then the second is, like, what is the good news? It's hard to share something with people if we can't verbalize it. And I think we all, to some degree, would be able to express, you know, faith in Jesus. But myself included, if somebody asks you, what is the good news? What would you say? I brought this up a few weeks ago when we got these T-shirts. And I started wearing this T-shirt, and I had people stop me and say, oh, so what's the good news? And I thought, I better have an answer to that. And so I put a few things up that came to my mind. But that's something else to be mindful of. And I have this in my notes page on my phone just to remind myself. If somebody asks me, what's the good news, what would I say? My number one answer is the top one. The good news is that while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us and made us friends of God. That's unbelievable good news. C.S. Lewis's quote, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. That's great good news. And I do love Isaiah 53:12, written 700 years before Jesus came, about him. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. That's good news, right? And then I've got three more on the next slide. This was a title of a Bible in 1 year devotional a couple months ago. God is nice and he likes you. That's good news. The middle one, because of Jesus, God's not mad at you. Steve Brown. And then Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Anna Warner, no relation. But these are a little bit different than what people might expect. You know, if somebody says, what is the good news? I'm not saying John 3:16 is bad, but that's what people expect. And we kind of fall right into, oh, yeah, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. But if and that's great. But there's some other ways to communicate what is the good news. So those are some things to be thinking about that are helpful. All right, last point. You are uniquely wired for evangelism. And we're going to do something. We did this a while ago, maybe a year or so ago, but I'm going to ask you two questions and have you get up and move to a part of the room. All right? So let me see if I've got this right, that next slide. So the first slide, here, you guys can all stand up. And you don't have to say anything. All you got to do is move to a part of the room, all right? How many of y'all are familiar at all with your DISC profile? Have you ever done that? DISC? Okay. Well, you'll be familiar now. And it's a very it's very accurate just based on two questions, okay? So if you are more of an extroverted, outgoing, engaging type personality in a natural way, then come up to the front of the room. And if you're more reserved, you know, more thoughtful, more considerate and keeping things, you know, inward, but you're more of a reserved, introverted personality, then move to the back of the room. Okay. So if you're more extroverted, then come up to the front. It wouldn't have been right if I had the introverts come up front, right? That wouldn't have been fair. Okay. And so then the second is if you are, stay front or back, if you are more task-oriented, where you're just like, let's cut to the chase, bullet points, just I want to get, you get energy from getting stuff done, then stay in the back or the front, but move over to this side of the room if you get energy from getting stuff done, okay? And then if you are people-oriented, where you just, you know, you're in a conversation and you know you've got a next appointment, but you're like, well, that can wait. I'll be late. You know, I'm in this conversation. If you're people oriented, then go over to this side of the room. All right. And I know people are on the fence. You guys are on the fence. If you're indecisive, stay in the middle. All right. So I'm going to go through the DISC profile to show how you are uniquely wired for evangelism. All right. I'll start, the D's are over here. You are extroverted, task-oriented personalities, and I've got copies of this at the back resource table where the green tablecloth is. You guys will want to visit that table today to take some of these things home that I'm referring to. It's also going, all these resources are going to be on the website under today's sermon message, so you can access everything there, okay? So D is dominant driver type personality. You guys are most comfortable when you're driving. When you're sitting behind the driver's seat, you are natural leaders. You're most comfortable when you're leading. Your personality type displays the confidence of God. You're born to lead and be in charge of something. If God had an innovative project, he would ask you to lead it. Your value to the team is your bottom line organizer. You're high value on time, innovative, challenges the status quo, and you're all about getting results. And if the D's were a bird, you would be an eagle, okay? So you're the natural, your bullet points, like cut to the chase, stop telling me the story, just give me the bullet points so we can move this thing forward, right? Does that sound familiar? Okay. So it's helpful. I had to take a picture. Where's my phone? Where is my phone? Did I leave it back there? This will be helpful. Hang on. Oh, Kevin's got it. You going to get pictures, Kevin?
Yeah.
I need to know who our natural leaders are. All right. Yeah, that's right. No, you're preaching next week. Okay, the eyes. You guys are influencers. You're inspiring, right? You love people. You're the party waiting to happen, right? Your personality type displays the joy of God. You're really all about fun. And if God had a project going on, he would have you involved to make it fun and to help people connect and engage. Let's see. You're great storytellers. You know, it really is about stories. And I'm an I, by the way. I'm an I. It's also funny. You said the last movie you saw was the best movie you've ever seen. the last restaurant you went to, that was the best Mexican restaurant I've ever been to. My kids and Laura will say that I do that all the time. So I try not to do that so much. You're optimistic. You're talkative. You think out loud. You're emotional. You're engaging. You're networkers. Typically, you have a wide bandwidth of relationships that are wider than they are deep. You love deep relationships, but you just have, because you're engaging, you have a lot of what you're exposed. you guys prefer an answer to the question, what? What are we doing? What do we need to get accomplished? You guys prefer an answer to the question, who? Who's going to be there? Who's going to be involved? Who's coming, right? So there's more to it, and it's all in the details on this, on the resource table. But if you were a bird, your bird would be a parrot, okay? Eagles, parrots. All right, you guys are the S's, stable and steady. And traditionally, there are more S's in our culture than there is any other. But with our church, there are a lot of S's and C's. But you guys are, your personality type displays the faithfulness of God. You're peacemakers, typically. You're super compassionate and caring. You're sensitive. You are the most caring people out of all of the groups. You want everybody to get along. If God had an innovative project, he would have you involved to make sure everybody's involved and everybody's getting along. Sometimes you have a hard decision, hard time making decisions because you kind of see all angles. Characteristics, you're steady, you're faithful, you're good listeners, you're team players. Your value to the team is you're reliable, you're dependable, you're loyal. You're patient, you're empathetic. That goes with listening. Let's see. Where's the answer to the question? Oh, you prefer an answer to the question, how? How are we going to do this? Because it's like, is this going to disrupt things? Is this, how are we going to make this, you know, flow smoothly? If there was a bird that depicted your personality type, it would be the dove. The dove. All right. And last but not least, the C's. You guys are careful and cautious. You make sure that things get done right and on time. You guys are detail-oriented. You guys are like the engineers, the accountants. You just pay attention to details, which is so necessary. Somebody said, you know, you measure, and then you measure one more time, and then you make your cut, right? If you're familiar with Consumer Reports, you probably have a subscription to Consumer Reports. You do all the research on something before you make a purchase. You're not very impulsive when it comes to stuff like that, right? You're lifelong learners. Your personality type displays the excellence of God. You prefer an answer to the question, why? Why are we doing this? And it's so funny. In the relationships in my life, these two right here can kind of be oil and water, the I's and the C's. Like the I's have big ideas. Like, hey, what if we do this? And then the C's are like, well, you can't do that because then this will happen. Or you can't, but they're necessary because these guys, we have an idea of, you know, let's build a sailboat and, you know, sail out of the harbor. And these guys are like, it's going to leak. You're going to sink within 10 minutes. And we think they're shooting down our dreams, but they're just saying, hey, we want you to be successful. So every single part is very important. And if you guys were a bird, you want to guess what you'd be? You'd be the owl, the wise owl. So anyway, all right. So thank you for participating. Was that helpful? You guys can go back to your seats or go wherever you want. We'll keep this thing. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Let's have a party. Yeah, Ray said it's not by accident or coincidence, not surprised that the two pastors of this church are both eyes, right? So, all right. I'm looking at time. Let me see if I can get through this. There is a little assessment on the back table that is very quick. It's a thick handout. It's called Six Effective Evangelism Styles. And it's real quick. And you just read statements and you rate 0 to 3. Is this more like me or least like me? I would encourage you to pick that up and take that home. Every single style, personality style, is represented. And a lot of times when it comes to evangelism, we feel like, well, I don't know apologetics. I don't know all the details of faith. That's not really my thing. I'm not an engaging personality. I don't feel comfortable at having big parties and having a bunch of people over at my house. Well, there are all different styles that match how you are specifically wired. Serving, you know, a lot of people consider serving as being an evangelistic style, but it is. It's a huge evangelism style. And so I don't have time to – I'll post the notes online, and maybe we'll touch base on this next week, but I don't have time to get into it detail. I do want to play a song, and I'm going to try to do this now because I love this song. It's fun. We might go a little bit long today. Hopefully that's okay. But Danny Gans, how many have ever heard of Danny Gans? I didn't think so. Danny Gans was a professional baseball player drafted by the Chicago White Sox. His career was cut short due to injury. And through a series of just how God directed his path, he became a Christian. And then he went to Las Vegas and he performed in Las Vegas on the Strip. And he was named the Las Vegas Entertainer of the Year and awarded Show of the Year for 10 years in a row, from 1998 to 2008. Larry King, you guys remember Larry King? Larry King said, when you think of Danny Gans, the first thing you think of is entertainer. The second word you think of is best. And then Steve Wynn, all the hotels in Vegas, right? Says, one of the most unique human beings and entertainers in the world is Danny Gans. So I tell you all that. Danny tragically died unexpectedly in his sleep in 2009. There was nothing drug-related. It was a heart issue and died in his sleep. But what an impact this guy had. For 10 years in a row, a strong believer, Entertainer of the Year, Show of the Year in Las Vegas, right? But there's a song that he did. It's a cover called Welcome to the Best Stuff in the World Today Cafe. Has anybody ever heard this song? Take Six did the song as well. But we have the lyrics, and I'm going to play the song because my computer is – where's my phone? Oh, my computer is updating. So I'm going to play it off of this speaker. And but I love this song. It gives kind of a fun perspective on evangelism. And then we'll round the corner and wrap up the message. All right, you get the gist of that song. Isn't that great? You go into a great restaurant, you're served, it's amazing. And you're like, I want other people to have this experience. And you put an apron on and you start serving. You start pulling people in off the street. And that's what we experience with the gospel. I'll wrap this up. Just a reminder, there are resources on this green table and a couple of things that are back there and on the website will be this week with a message. Group Publishing did a book a few years ago called A Field Guide to Neighborhood Outreach. And I've shared this story with some of y'all, but I ordered a copy of the book because I wanted ideas. It was practical ideas on how you can connect with neighbors. And the whole first chapter, as I opened it up, was our story of neighborhood ministry. It starts off the neighborhood ministry of Drew and Laura Warner. I was like, what? I mean, totally shocked. So we have that in PDF file and it's on the website. It's not in print anymore, but it's a short book. It's great. And then there's a continuation of that. That's kind of the start, but there's a continuation of that. That's in a PDF file online called Neighboring Church, Meet the Warners by Krista Petty. And that's more recent. As a few years ago, there's 21 daily devotionals on missional living that are fantastic. They're just one page to kind of help prime the pump for us. And there's also a resource on the back table and online that I put together a few years ago titled Missional Living for Introverts. What do you do if you're an introvert? There are a lot of people in the back, so that might be helpful for you. I will say that this all involves, you know, evangelism involves, we can get the gospel, but it really involves dying to self and not caring so much about what other people think of us and caring more about what God thinks of us. That's a process. I'm still in that process. We may not do our last song today just so we can
land the plane and be as much on time as possible. But I was back, you know, I talked last week about taking Braden Psalms over, and he's in a great program for 13 weeks and just praying for him continually. But I stopped at my favorite brewery in South Carolina because their beer is no longer on the shelf, but you can get in the brewery. And I walked in, and the girl behind the counter, and there's a guy sitting there, and I had heard that the owner of the brewery died suddenly last year. And so I just said, "Hey, I heard that Tom died last year. You know, how are you guys doing?" And she just stopped and looked at me, and tears filled up in her eyes. And I'm like, this is a ministry opportunity. I knew that that was a guy. I was just going to go in and pick up beer and keep going. But I ordered a beer. And I stayed and just asked questions and talked. And really, God opened up the door to be a pastor to her and to the young guy that was sitting there who ran the food deal. And got their contact information, have stayed in touch with them since that time. And was able to share the gospel, was able to, but very naturally, in conversation, threw some coasters down and said, "Hey, here's my home brewery in Atlanta," and then flipped it over and said, "And I pastor this church that meets at the brewery." And she was like blown away, and she didn't have a church background, but very engaged and so very interested. Those are just things that come up when we're sort of aware. But that was a dying to self, because I just really naturally would have wanted just go in, get your stuff, and keep going. But God has me prompting me, just asking and just seeing, you know, throwing stuff out there and see what comes back. And it could have been that nothing came back. She didn't respond or whatever, and I would have just gone. But there was an opportunity there, and God provided that. So if you have experienced this incredible grace of God, but you're frustrated at your lack of mission, you know, maybe the thing is just finding ways to be with people who don't know the love of Christ yet. Just figure, you know, what are some opportunities? Just be in the mix. Just be in the mix and see what happens. If you haven't yet experienced the love of Christ, then I think your call to action is just be in the pathway. Allow God to do a work in your heart. Be in His Word. Be in prayer. Ask Him, "God, I want to have this experience that causes this to flow out of me." If you don't feel it being naturally compelled out of you, then it's better just to stay attached to Jesus and let Him do that work than trying to share something that you really haven't experienced yourself yet. And there's nothing wrong with you if you're in that boat, okay? We're just in a different place in our journey. We all are. Two things. Had this message today because holidays are a great time to engage with people who don't know Christ. Halloween is the one time where everybody in your community comes and knocks on your door. And so, like what we do, we set up a fireball out front with our neighbors in the cul-de-sac, and we just try to connect, you know, and try to have conversation. Not a lot. It's kind of hard. People have costumes on. You can't tell who's who, but there's an opportunity there. Something may happen there. Christmas, instead of having all the Christmas parties with all the people that we know, that we already have relationship with in the church, have a party for your neighbors. Invite them over, you know, and just try to be thinking creatively. How can I extend hospitality to people who don't know Jesus yet? There's a lot more to be said. I'm out of time. Let me see if there's anything else that absolutely needs to be said. You know, I will say this last 20 years of ministry for us, three words have shaped our ministry, and they've borne great fruit for evangelism, and it's love, serve, and bless. Just seek to love people, seek to serve people where there's a need, just seek to serve, and just seek to be a blessing to the people around you. And when you do that, with a heart for God and a heart that people would come to know Jesus, He will cause that action to be fruitful. Don't think about, "I need to share my story. I need to share my testimony. I need to invite him to church." I've said this before. We are not about, our top priority is not trying to get people to church. That's not our number one thing. We're trying to help people come into a relationship with Jesus. And if they come to this church, great. We think this church can be a great help in people coming into relationship. But that's not what we're about. It's about helping people meet Jesus and find satisfaction in Him. So I think that's it. Let's see. Yeah. Like I said earlier, you're the light of the world. Sometimes we think that the difference that we can make is very insignificant. That is the furthest thing from the truth. When we are lit up and ignited, we begin to radiate God's love. he begins to do amazing things, and it begins to send rippling effects in whatever communities you're in. And we've seen that happen. We've seen that happen in our lives. I know a lot of you have seen it happen in your lives. And so the power, the impact of one person, just the Apostle Paul, you know, God transformed his life, and we're still being impacted. There are thousands of other examples that we could give, but just know that your life is significant when it's yielded to God. And you say, God, just use me, fill me up, give me an encounter with your love and your grace, and he will use you in a significant, significant way. But it does include pushing into uncomfortable situations, engaging with people that we don't know, initiating conversation. That's why it's part of this topic, is because the gospel calls us out of our comfort into discomfort for the sake of people who have yet to know the love that we found in Jesus by his grace. So let me pray and we'll wrap up. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you have done that miracle in our hearts and our lives, that you've brought us to experience this incredible banquet at your table. And it's not just for us to continue to come in and have a private table reserved just for us and push past everybody else and to get in and just continue to feast ourselves. It's a call, and we have a natural desire to want to put an apron on and to serve other people and to go out on the street and just welcome and invite people in and go, the best food in the world is in this cafe. Come in and you're going to be amazed. And so, Lord, help us to do that and help us to build friendships and to love people with your love. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.